Welcome to Coffee House Shots. Sadiq Khan has been declared the new Mayor of London, taking the city for Labour after 8 years of Boris Johnson. I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by my colleagues James Forsyth, Isabel Hartman, and YouGov's Marcus Roberts to discuss this. So, Isabel, this will be the good news Jeremy Corbyn was longing for, won't it?
Well, it is, in that they can end the day, the Labour Party, by saying that they have won something clearly and that they've got a Labour politician with a huge mandate, something they always like talking about in the Corbyn circles, who's been elected Mayor of London. But it's also quite a good day, according to the moderates who are plotting against Jeremy Corbyn, for them as well, because they see Sadiq Khan as someone who they can harness against the Labour leader, someone who can say, look, Jeremy Corbyn, I've won an election. I know what it takes to actually win. I'm now delivering stuff for London because I have won an election. You are not going to win an election, and I have the authority to knife you. And this is one of the many plots in the Labour Party at the moment, is that Sadiq Khan could be the man to turn against Corbyn.
So, Marcus, how did Sadiq win?
It's a big vindication for doing professional politics professionally. It's a demonstration that if you run on a simple, strong narrative, repeated many times, son of a bus driver, son of a bus driver, son of a bus driver, bring London together, bring London together, bring London together, you have a greater ability to connect with voters than might otherwise be the case. And it also allowed Sadiq to constantly return to something when he was under fire from Zach Goldsmith on almost any topic. And that just cut through with voters. It's also, it should be said, a big compliment to the team behind Sadiq Khan, his campaign manager David Bellamy, his political director Jack Stenner. These are people who understood the block and tackle of politics 101. They made sure that Sadiq got in the back of a taxi and talked about the importance of speaking English if you work in a public-facing job, as well as distanced him from Labour's anti-Semitism problems very quickly. Now, that will have been, both of those things will have been Sadiq Khan's instincts, but it speaks well to the campaign team that he has that he was able to execute these tactics so efficiently.
And James, why did Zach Goldsmith lose?
Well, I think you've got to remember that London is a Labour city, and increasingly so. Look at the general election results in London. That was kind of one of the few, very few bright spots there were. And Boris has a charisma and a star power that enables him to win. I mean, I know that there's a limitation to polls that ask people about hypotheticals, but it is quite telling that in a poll which had Zach Goldsmith trailing Sadiq Khan very heavily, people said that they would have voted for Boris over Sadiq for a Boris third term. Now, I'm sure part of that is Boris's name recognition and the like, but, you know, Boris was an exceptionally good candidate. I think there was also a problem with the Zach Goldsmith campaign, which long before you get into this whole argument about the stuff at the end, about platform sharing and all this, it was that to win in London, you need a Tory to win in London needs to mobilise a lower middle class Tory vote. And Zach Goldsmith, with his very wealthy family background and with his slightly diffident persona, found it difficult to connect with that kind of Tory.
But Isabel, the Tories had quite a long contest to find out who was going to represent them in this. Zach Goldsmith won that contest easily. So if Zach wasn't the right candidate, then who was?
I think Zach really disappointed expectations once he'd won. His speech to the Tory Party conference, for instance, in the autumn was very downbeat, and it came at the same time as Boris's speech, and the contrast was just really uncomfortable, because there was an upbeat, excited mayor who was able to articulate why you should vote Conservative, followed by the candidate to follow him who didn't really look like he wanted it. And that was really the theme of all the criticism of the Goldsmith campaign, was that even if those around him really wanted it and were prepared to throw anything at Sadiq, Zach just looked as though he wasn't that bothered. And in a city like London, which is full of hugely ambitious people who work long hours, the spectacle of someone asking for a job who doesn't really want it, it just jars hugely.
I think you also saw the difference between constituency campaigning and campaigning in a big city media market like London. You know, Zach Goldsmith got the largest increase in his majority of any MP at the last election. And I think that is because he is, you know, contrary to what the campaign might object, a very hard-working constituency MP. But in a constituency, you can win voters over by going to numerous schools. You can almost get kind of personal contact with almost everyone or at one remove. In a big a media-based campaign like the London mayoralty, you can't. And that's what that Goldsmiths campaign singularly failed to do. They didn't manage to project him on TV and radio. And you can only do so much face-to-face campaigning in a city the size of London.
In contrast, Labour's Paddy Hennessy was running communications for Sadiq Khan, was able to make sure that there was near roadblock coverage of Sadiq Khan's pledges in the Evening Standard and the Metro, the two most important media channels for the election. If there was a housing pledge to be made, if there was a tubes fare freeze to be announced, there would not just be coverage on the Monday, but on the Tuesday, the Wednesday and the Thursday as well. Compare that with how Team Zach functioned. Their manifesto pledges, much like actually the manifesto pledges of Labour in the 2015 general election, would be announced and then would disappear, never to be seen in the media again.
But Marcus, let's remember, this is the same Evening Standard that has been campaigning for Zach Goldsmith almost every day. I mean, to me, this is a little reminder that the press isn't actually that powerful, because if it was, then Zach wouldn't have lost by this margin. He couldn't have bought the amount of publicity which the Evening Standard gave him routinely.
And that's why it's all the more impressive that the Khan campaign was able to get as much positive press out of the Evening Standard as they did. But what's also telling, though, is where communications and electoral campaigns is going. And that's where, again, the Khan campaign was able to learn from the lessons, I would say, of Linton Crosby's Conservatives in 2015 and put a big effort into Facebook. And think about the 59% of undecided voters in London who use Facebook multiple times a week and trust it as a major source of news. And the Khan campaign was able to get its message out digitally as well. And that was very important for its success.
Now, James, when you and I saw Khan back in December, he then was very confident. He was saying to us he was going to win. It was just a question of how. And he pointed to this massive Labour apparatus. I mean, the unions, they've got basically more people on the ground versus the Conservatives, who were a party kind of in decay when it comes to constituencies. I mean, do you think that was a factor, that the Labour machine is simply, even if it's led by Corbyn right now, that the machine is bigger and better and stronger than the Tory machine?
Well, when I went to vote on Thursday, there was a Labour teller at our polling station, but no one from any other party. Now, when you consider when my mum used to take me to vote when I was growing up in London, you know, again, not in a particularly Tory area. There were always tellers for all the parties there. It's a sign of all the parties are in decline. But the Labour decline in London is least advanced of all the other parties. I think it's a kind of relative concept. I think one of Sadiq Khan's greatest strengths was the sheer energy that he put into campaigning. You know, even if this didn't have a cut through of a Boris and Ken fight. But Sadiq was still kind of everywhere he could be at any time. And his approach to the media was to do kind of everything he was offered in a chance to get out there. While Zach didn't become anywhere near as ubiquitous as Sadiq did.
And the candidate who wants the job more usually wins. And it was clear right from the start in this race that Sadiq wanted this job and was prepared to do anything for it. Whereas Zach seemed to be prepared to do barely anything at all for it.
Marcus Roberts, Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth, thank you very much. You can subscribe to Coffee House Shots and other Spectator podcasts on the iTunes Store.